The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know what would be nice is, you know the line they show on TV that the players can't see, to actually put that on the field so you can see how far.
Dr. Evil, it's about the sharks.
When you were frozen, they were put on the endangered species list.
Let's entertain this for a minute, guys. He's the robot guy here. So, like, I feel like
it's
technology,
true. He's invested in robots.
As far as technology goes, I feel like Chewy is leaps and bounds further than the rest of us.
I have one simple request. And that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
How would that work?
Lasers. Lasers.
Sure.
No, I'm serious.
What do we have?
Sea bass.
Right.
They are mutated sea bass.
Are they ill-tempered?
Absolutely.
Well, that's a start.
All right, from the roof or the ceiling. You just project it down.
What if
moves,
what they
just
choke
like
on air
crank.
Like Lambo?
Will you get off my ass for crying out loud?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They make it.
Do you guys believe in Mercury in retrograde? You
heard about the planet?
Freddie Mercury?
Yes. All of the above. For the record, I do believe in Freddie Mercury. Also, for the record, I have never believed in Mercury in retrograde. I thought it was all this, like, woo-woo crystals, woo-woo astrology stuff.
Well, what does it mean? I honestly don't know. I've heard the phrase.
Yeah.
Don't know what it means.
There's something about... I don't know. Can we call Aaron Rodgers? This feels like something he would understand.
I guarantee he knows.
He understands.
Maybe it's in the new
Mercury
book.
Is a planet, so Chewy was right about that. And then retrograde is some sort of state that Mercury is in. I don't know what it means. But when things start to go a little sideways, people always refer to, is Mercury in retrograde? And I've never believed in this. I'm always like, okay. But the last 10 days of my life have just been one hit after another. You guys know I had COVID last week. For the first time ever.
That's the first time?
First time ever.
She's a newbie, Chew.
How many times you had it?
One, probably more.
I'm like three or four.
First time ever. And did it knock me on my keister, Chew? Holy hell. I told Gabe, you know that scene in Ferris Bueller's Day Off where Cameron's like,
He'll keep calling. I'll go. Great.
That's how I felt with the COVID. And, you know, it was one of those things where I felt awful. I felt horrible. It was in my head. My body aches. The sweats, the fever, all of the things. And I'm at Walgreens picking up a prescription for Kira, who broke her arm. I don't even know if we talked about that. That was the start of this whole nonsense. And I look over and see a COVID test. And I go, I should buy one of those.
We even just find out, check it out.
By the way, I haven't dropped the price at all. It's still $35 for a couple of COVID tests. And as soon as I got in the car, did the old up the nostrils. Talk about that. My nostrils have had a really rough time as well over the last week. And sure enough, boom, right away. Not even like maybe.
It's kind of it's a lighter color. Maybe it's a false positive.
Boom, COVID. I was like, that makes sense. Called up our bosses and said, I have COVID. They said, sorry, you can't go in for 5 days. And I was like, I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything for 5 days. I didn't realize people were still getting COVID. But then my friend told me it's making a comeback. Like bell-bottom pants and wide-leg jeans and all the old 90s fashions. COVID is back. Did you guys know that COVID was back?
I did. Yep. Yeah, my wife works at a school. I feel like she's...
Wait a minute. Did it knock you on your butt when you had it?
You know, when I had it the worst is when I got the vaccine. Okay. I got the one that was like 4 gallons.
Yeah, you got the one shot. Yeah.
And it was like that one. Yeah, that was 4 days.
That knocked you on your ass. But, I remember that.
But guys, I'm to the point where I might mask up because it was so bad. I wanted to die. My body was achy. I had the chills. I had the fever. My head was on fire. Chew, I might throw masks on the planes from now on because I don't want to get that again. If it's making a comeback, if it's roaring again, I cannot handle that.
The temperature? Dylan had
104.
It. Dylan had 104. It like last week.
Oh, see?
He said,
I mean, as much as he
having
travels.
Having 102 temperature and coaching in 90-something degree heat. Not fun.
Not a good combo.
Not really. Sweat it out, I told him. Be a man.
I tried that.
I played at Temple and had an unbelievable catch with a fever.
I played at Temple.
Remind me.
In front of hundreds of fans.
709 people.
But remind the loyal listeners where Temple is located.
Temple is in Philadelphia.
Thank you. Exactly. Acting like he's down here in Coral Gables or something. Good grief. So I had to cancel a couple of work trips. Ended up having to do that stuff remotely. I got a story for you guys about a rock I got to get to in the second hour of the program because this again was back to the Mercury in retrograde. So pretty much bottom line, you guys don't believe in this idea of when Mercury is in retrograde, whatever that means, things go a little sideways.
Well, so did you even look it up? Is Mercury in retrograde?
Is it a full moon?
Sort of, yes. There's something along those lines.
There's something with a full moon.
Okay,
with kids.
Okay.
Probably dogs, too.
Wait, you think all kids are werewolves? Is that what's going on here?
Be cool.
Jen could probably
attest.
They act weird when there's a full moon.
If you were to ask anybody who works in any form of law enforcement or healthcare, they will all swear. Is it a full moon? And when it is, nutsal things happen.
It's because of the tides.
He doesn't know exactly what that means, but it sounds good, so we'll go with it. Joshy, you're the smartest one on this esteemed panel.
Hey, hold it. Standardized tests are not my strong suit.
My client would like to file an appeal.
But you can go with it. We'll go with it for now. Duly noted, Gabe?
Duly noted.
All right, go ahead.
What do they say? Your grievance is noted, right? Or something like that. Like, we have made, it is on record.
Yes.
Joshy, what does Mercury in retrograde actually mean? What is retrograde? We're all familiar with the Mercury concept of the situation. What is retrograde?
It's basically the planet's motions, like in their, for whatever reason, in that path, there is a belief that as Mercury works around the sun, which then is also working around the Earth, that somehow things go awry and bad things typically happen more when Mercury is in retrograde versus when it is not.
Is it like a magnetic thing? Is there something like magnetic where is it a chemical thing?
Well, with all things in astrology, the details are a little sparse and it's kind of fill in your own,
choose your own adventure.
Yes. Yeah. Have it mean whatever you want it to mean type of deal. But it is just like a planetary function. And there is something about how, because it laps the Earth a few times a year, it appears to reverse its course. So that means like things have gone wrong. They have gone a different direction.
I mean, the Bears did look good in their last preseason game, so.
Well, the good news there
is retrograde.
Yeah.
The good news there, apparently Mercury is no longer in retrograde August 27th. However.
It's my birthday. Shout out to me.
It will be back in retrograde from November 25th through December 15th.
Wait a minute. 27th? We got a whole, that's two more weeks, Gabe?
Yeah.
I can't survive another 2 weeks of Mercury in retrograde if it's anything like the last 10 days of Mercury in retrograde. I've never believed in this stuff, but I got to tell you, man, the week and a half that I have had, starting with our 4-year-old breaking her wrist, being at the emergency room until 2 a.m., which, by the way, thankful for the folks over at Children's Hospital who put Kira, who set her bone. It was displaced. They put her in. They put her under. They took care of it. Very thankful for that. But everything after that has been really, really lousy.
Have you hit the threes yet or no?
I think I've hit the 13s.
Oh, okay.
She sprinted past it.
Yeah.
Between the COVID and the wrist breaking, and the Rock story, which again, I got to get to with the second hour of the show. I want to tell you guys about the Rock story. I've been very vague on purpose about what the Rock story is. It has nothing to do with Dwayne Johnson, okay?
I'm now less interested.
Do you think the Blammers corn has something to do with retrograde? Because it's the first time it's been good in 10 years.
Oh, I had some of that corn.
I know.
I made a nice little, it was good? Really good.
I got some bad news to report about Blammers corn.
Worms?
Pulled the husk back on one, and a giant caterpillar came crawling. that one didn't make it on in the meal.
Caterpillar is the better alternative, though, right?
It sure is.
Yeah, I prefer a caterpillar to a worm.
But the rest of them were pretty solid,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. They were.
Retrograde.
It was just like, yeah, he said it's good this year, and then I immediately peel it in front of people, and a caterpillar comes crawling out.
Not in front of people. Come on.
Comedically,
yes.
This is the best thing that could have happened.
Yeah.
But you were probably putting a sell on, right? You were like, this is Blammer's corn.
I was, Blammer.
He's our buddy from the show. We talk about him all the time. How did this work? Did y'all meet up for a corn exchange?
I brought a bunch in because when he comes over, he doesn't bring it's me and Angie. 6 years we'll get it done. Not 24.
I thought you said 6 years. But you said 6 years. Got it.
So I had a surplus, so I brought the bag in, and these guys had at it.
Josh, you chose poorly, apparently.
In fairness, I did split them up. I split them up right in front of Josh. We just counted them out, threw them in a bag. So I guess that's on me, Josh.
So there you go. Mercury in retrograde made me miss the corn share. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. I'll throw it on the list. 800-990-3776. Do you believe in this Mercury in retrograde thing? I think I saw on the calendar. It's from August 5th. Through the 27th,
correct.
Mercury is in retrograde. Have things been going a little sideways, woo-woo, bizarre for you and your family? I got to know if it's just me. Because, I can make it to the 27th. I mean, I got a couple of... Oh, I traveled the other day. Supposed to travel the other day, guys. Got stuck on the runway for 40 minutes. Captain says, we have a mechanical issue. We cannot control the temperature of the cabin. So I don't feel comfortable putting us up in the air and not being able to control the temperature for you fine folks. So we're just going to turn her around to go back to the gate. We were going to Detroit.
Up and down.
It's a 40-minute flight, man. Like, give us some ice cups. We can handle it, you know? All the people who had connecting flights in Detroit were all hacked off. I was one of them. Did not get to my location on Sunday night. Yesterday was Monday. Today is Tuesday. Here we go. 800-990-3776. Gabe, do you believe in Mercury in retrograde?
Not even a little bit. You got to run a bad luck. Bad luck happens. I'm not blaming Mercury in retrograde, because here's the thing. Things have been going great for me.
Yeah, you want to remember guests.
Want to remember guests? Went up to Michigan, won like $300.
Maybe you need Mercury in retrograde. Did you ever think about it that way?
Things are turning up, Gabe. You just put the curse on yourself there. Yeah, everything's going great.
It's a very good point. So things have been going bad for me. Maybe I'm just carrying all the bad juju, and you've got the good juju. Maybe if I come over there and rub up on you a little bit, we could transfer some juju.
You can stay right over there.
That's an HR violation.
Careful.
That's a very good point. We got a lot of stuff to get to this morning. Jason Wilde is going to join the show. Chewy, did you end up finding some power rankings you want to trick us with?
I did. We did defense last week. We're going to do offense this week.
We'll do power rankings in the second hour of the show as well. And why does Matt LaFleur want to vomit? Did he also get the COVID? Did he get a bad something on a stick at the Wisconsin State Fair? We'll talk to Jason Wilde about that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You've probably heard about employee stock ownership plans before, but what separates Fifth Third Bank from others when it comes to these plans? A succession plan that benefits business owners and employees. From full and partial sales, second stage transactions, repurchase obligation financing, and seller note refinancing, ESOPs can offer tax advantages, increased liquidity, employee incentives, and overall diversification of net worth to help your company plan for the future. Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready? Hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that This guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We certainly appreciate Jason Wilde taking the time to hang out with us. You know what I mean by us this morning. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, good, good. Not going to vomit like some people apparently, and we'll get to that. Is that your best vomit sound?
No, I held back on that.
You have cats, right? Lots of cats, several cats.
More cats than we probably should. Oh, hello, Boomer.
I'm just thinking. Right, yeah, exactly. They heard the word cat and were like, hello. I'm just thinking about like when our dog is getting ready to vomit and how he does the whole like. Exactly. And it doesn't, it doesn't matter where you are in the house. It's like your ears perk up and you're like, no. Where are you? You start looking for the dog that's making
noise.
Oh, he's
just yakking on a bone.
It'll be fine.
Maybe anyway, didn't feed him from the table.
Jason, were you surprised at Matt LaFleur's reaction yesterday? And I know you were not implicitly asking him, who is your number one wide receiver? But were you surprised at his reaction that he is now showing his frustration about this conversation surrounding his offense?
Yeah, I did not see that coming. I was certainly not prepared for it. It felt a little bit like that whole two down lineman thing that happened.
Oh, sure.
A while back with him. And look, I really like Matt. He and I work really well together. We have a great professional relationship. I think he has a tendency to seize on certain phrases and then, I don't want to say tune out the question, but, and look, by the way, not only did he use a word that makes for great headlines, I saw it made Pro Football Talk. I mean, it certainly caused a stir, and I actually had to force myself to write about it for the State Journal, because my first thought was, well, that has nothing to do with what I was asking about Dontavian Wicks. And on top of that, I really wanted to write about Emmanuel Wilson, who I think has got a chance to really have a role on this team. But be that as it may, I was surprised. I thought his answer was actually terrific, not just the vomit line, but the rest of it. And I also thought it was interesting that later, and I'm sure this has not gotten nearly as much attention because he didn't use anything involving a bodily function of any sort, but Jason Vrabel, the longtime wide receivers coach, now he's the passing game coordinator, said eventually there will be a number one receiver because they'll decide who to pay and who to let go. And so, what I was trying to get at, and you guys obviously got kind of the ball rolling in my brain as I thought about this when you were counting the snaps for Wicks in the in Family Night. And my follow up after his answer was, all right, I don't want to make you vomit, but I was trying to get to where is Wicks kind of in the global view of this offense, because, you know, and he had a good one-liner then about how, well, he only played one snap, but it was a hell of a snap. I mean, I do think that as much as this became about the word choice and his frustration, you know, my point in the follow-up is you're the one who's got to figure out how the hell to get all these guys on the field and to get them, keep them all satisfied. And all singing Kumbaya because they're all getting opportunities. So, you know, look, it certainly got a lot of attention back in Chewy's day when I was in press conferences with Holmgren. They weren't live streamed. The video did not get out. The audio came when one of the radio guys sent the audio back to the radio station. Now it's instantaneous. Everybody tweeted it. Domofsky did right away. But the bottom line is that they got a bunch of really good wide receivers, not only 1 through 4. See, and I know Bo Melton had a bad day, Chewy, but 5 through 8 are pretty damn good too. And they've got to figure it out.
Yeah, I didn't like his answer at all, and I didn't like the two defensive linemen. Is he the smartest guy in the room?
I don't think so. I think, you know, I didn't have any problem with it. I really didn't. Like, again, he and I have had some great conversations over the years. I think he's really respectful of me. He's the first coach I've ever covered that's younger than me, which has been a strange dynamic for me, just realizing that I'm getting really old. But no, I think the other challenge here, though, and if it's if he wants to deflect it, because that's what he did with the two down lineman thing, right? Like,
yeah,
the point was, were you in the wrong setup or
personnel grouping? Yeah,
when you got gashed on a big key run in a key game, that was the point of that, and he knew that. And this, you know, if he goes back and listens to the tape, if you will, I think he'll understand better. The point is that Dontayvion Wicks, you know, whether it's Mina Kimes or it's someone less renowned like me, talking about how good this guy is, he showed it on that play. And what, you know, I wrote about this on Madison.com, and I think it's important to understand this whole thing about not having a number one wide receiver. Like, this play, if you go back and look at it, is a great demonstration of the value. So the personnel that they have on the field for this play is Josh Jacobs in the backfield, Romeo Doubs lined up to the left, and then kind of trips to the right. They've got Luke Musgrave farthest out near the sideline. Then it's Wicks, and then it's Jaden Reed in the slot. Reed runs an in-breaking route. Luke Musgrave kind of runs just a little flat route into the right flat by the sideline. And what happens is they end up with a safety on Wicks.
Yeah.
And Wicks absolutely
smoked them. He's terrible. They'll never do that again.
Yeah. And last thing on this, because I know I'm being a little verbose, you know, and I pointed this out in my story, and I pointed this out to somebody else yesterday. Like, I'm old enough to remember when you asked Aaron Rodgers, who's your favorite receiver? And he said, my favorite receiver is the one that's open.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk so much about that Sports Illustrated cover, but while maybe there was a clearer pecking order, right? At that point, it was Greg Jennings was the one going into the 2011 season, and then Jordy kind of surpassed him. His mentality was the same as what it is now, which is, I got a lot of guys to throw to. I don't have to force feed it to anyone, as opposed to the Devontae years when your number two was Alan Lazard.
Jason, you mentioned Emmanuel Wilson. Clearly, there are two running backs that are safe on this roster. Marshawn Lloyd, he's a draft pick, and obviously Josh Jacobs. Typically, the last couple of years, they've only kept two on the initial 53, and then they've put somebody on the practice squad. Are they going to keep three? And right now, who's that third?
Well, since they got to keep like 16 wide receivers, I don't know how they're going to do it. But it's a great question. I do think, and look, this is another reason why, and I hope our fans understand this, when we have conversations, whether it's on a post-game show or the next morning on a show, or if you're reacting on social media to a play, you know, I thought it was pretty clear that the blocking was crummy on the second, third, fourth down plays in succession when A.J. Dillon didn't get a yard. At the same time, I personally, and no offense to Boston College alumni as a whole, but I feel like if you're a big back, even if the blocking sucks,
mm-hmm.
you got to lower your pads, you got to get a yard. And so I don't think that's a harsh criticism or an unfair criticism of A.J. Dillon, but you know, that's who he is supposed to be. And, you know, I thought Ben Sermon, this is why I have access to these people, because I want to ask them and get their honest assessments. I don't always get honesty, but in this case, I would say that both LaFleur and Stenovich on this subject were kind of like what I just said. Yeah, the blocking sucked. We got to be better, but we also want our big back to get 1 yard.
And Ben Sermons, the running backs coach, said even the most premier running backs would have had trouble with that block and getting a yard. Okay. Well, somewhere in there is the reality that you don't want to go 0-for-3 on short yardage in a row with your supposed big back. So somewhere in there, we're going to get a better look at all these guys because, obviously, I don't think Lloyd's going to play because of the hamstring. We don't know how severe it is. We'll see what he does today. If anything, I doubt he will. And then they're not going to play Josh Jacobs because apparently 3 snaps for the starters was enough offensively for potentially the entire preseason. So that means it's going to be Dylan. It's going to be Wilson. It's going to be the Howard kid from Alcorn State that played down the stretch of the game who had some good moments. And we're going to get a better look at all of those guys. And I do think that A.J. Dillon, while we all love his persona and we like the story about how he's in the best shape of his career, and it's actually true, he still has to be productive. He still has to earn that spot.
Jason, he should be we're going to release you now so you can have an opportunity to catch on with another team. I mean, it's the same
old. What makes you say that?
3 handoffs and you can't get a damn yard as a big back. He's got nothing. His feet are slow. He just, you know, give me a sidestep or a juke or do something. 3 times. And I texted these guys right after it. I'm like, here we go again. Play the record. You know, I don't want nice guys on this team. I want good players on this team. I'm sorry if he's a nice guy, but I mean, you've been given your opportunity over and over and over, and you haven't produced.
Yeah, the 6 games last year, I mean, I think that's the reason why he got the contract that he did. I think that's the reason why he had the minimal tepid interest that he had on the free agent market. I mean, Aaron Jones missed 6 games. He started those 6 games. He was the lead back. In 6 games, he had 355 yards and averaged 3.4 yards carry.
Yeah. I mean, Jason, is the benchmark still 4?
Yes.
It is 4.
I think so. I mean, obviously they'd love it to be even higher. But, yeah, and look, you're right about him being a nice guy. Like, the girls and I did an event with him at a commercial shoot with Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin. There's no denying he's a good guy. That said, I think look at the negativity there was toward Eddie Lacy, who was introverted, who wasn't super, like, totally decent dude. I really like, you know, he's very shy, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wasn't out there, you know, promoting Door County and whatever else. That dude was a second-round pick just like A.J. Dillon, and that guy had back-to-back 1,100-yard seasons. And I always thought that he was kind of underappreciated during his time here. Everybody loves A.J. Dillon, but A.J. Dillon has to earn that spot. I'm not ready to write off that based on 4 carries for 2 yards in a preseason game. But he definitely has to do more to deserve that spot than just be, you know, Mr. Door County and be beloved. And I'm not – I still think and this is why preseason games are a challenge, because not only was the blocking crummy – but that's what everybody sees. Like, I've been at practice every day. Like, he has been quicker to the hole. Now, they're not live tackling, so that I don't know well enough. I don't see the game as well as, say, you would if you were watching practice next to me, which you're always welcome to do, by the way. But the bottom line,
you got a helicopter to take him up there, Jason?
I can see what I can do. I mean, I certainly have experience driving on I-43 back and forth. But I just think that, you know, that's going to get the focus, and that's what, and I'm contributing to it right now. But the fact of the matter is he has had a pretty decent camp. And I think, you know, the one thing that I would argue is that there's part of me that feels like, and I know nobody uses these guys anymore, but there's part of me that does feel like, and I remember the 4 of us having the conversation earlier in the offseason about him kind of taking the DeGuara role. But he's starting to feel more and more like a fullback. You know, the old joke about A.J. Dillon, I mean, it didn't apply on Saturday, but if you need 2 yards, he'll get you 2 yards. And if you need 4 yards, he'll get you 2 yards. And maybe that means he's got a different role this year. I don't know.
Jason, before we let you go, I need your help a little bit here. Can you translate? Can you Duolingo for me the Keyshawn Nixon tweet? It felt a little defiant about him holding on to the nickel position. Can you explain to me, translate for me, what he's trying to get across to his followers?
Yeah, I think there's been a couple of beat writers who have suggested, and I know Rob Domofsky did when he was on with Tausch and me on Friday. I have no idea if Keyshawn Nixon, you know, had heard these things or if fans had mentioned it to him or whatever it might be. But there's kind of this theory, and I do, by the way, for the record, I don't disagree with it, that with all the safeties that they have, you know, they really like Evan Williams. I think Anthony Johnson Jr. has had a really good camp for a seventh round pick a year ago. And obviously Bullard, because of his draft status, I think most of us assume he will ultimately win the starting job opposite Xavier McKinney. It has been suggested that Bullard has a bunch of experience at Georgia playing the slot. And you saw what he did in the game when he played the slot. He hit a dude really hard. His coverage skills for a safety are really good. And so it's been suggested that maybe he can go play the slot. And then that gets you Evan Williams on the field. And so they paid Keyshawn Nixon to be the slot. They didn't pay him all that money just to return kicks in the new kick rule. So I don't know if some of that kind of got back to him somehow. It wasn't exactly a clear tweet. Hey, I hear so-and-so said that I'm not going to be the slot anymore. I would have appreciated more context from his tweet, but I didn't get that. That would be what I believe that to be referring to, though.
All right, that's good information. I appreciate that perspective. Jason Wilde, you can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Have a great one, Jason.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
All right, guys. Have you tried Celsius Energy Drink yet? If you haven't, let me tell you all about it. It is the clean energy drink that you need, that I need, to stay active and energized all day long. Just gander over here. Boom. There's the Celsius. It is absolutely going to get me through this day. And, of course, it's getting me through the last few weeks, which I told you have been crazy. You can find it at Pick and Save or online at Amazon. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Want to dive into that situation with Keyshawn Nixon as well. Is Keyshawn Nixon feeling pressure? Is he feeling like guys are coming for his job? Is he trying to pee on the hydrant? What is happening here with Keyshawn Nixon? We'll talk about that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed, when I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The guys to explain this to me like I am five, which wouldn't be all that different from how I ask them to explain most things to me. So Keyshawn Nixon, what?
That's my wheelhouse.
Yeah? How about turning on
explaining things to five-year-olds?
Yes. Yeah.
Start with the microphone, and then we'll get to the explain.
Is that because your wife explains things to you like you're five, so you like get it?
It could be. My kids now treat me like I'm five. Okay, go ahead.
Do you take offense to it or no?
No, it's fair.
Yeah. He wants to be upset, you can tell, but yeah. At the same time.
He recognizes the reality of the situation. Sure, sure. So this Keyshawn Nixon thing. Keyshawn Nixon puts out a tweet yesterday that's basically like, I'm the nickel, deal with it. Okay, we have been. I've been dealing with this. It's been fine by me. I haven't had any issue with Keyshawn Nixon being the nickel. So Gabe, explain it to me like I'm five. What the bleep is going on here? Is Keyshawn Nixon feeling the pressure from some of these other guys who they have worked into the nickel spot? Or is he just like peeing on the hydrant, you know, canine style? This is my gig. Don't come for my gig, or don't talk about how other people might be getting my gig.
Seems like you have a pretty good grasp on it. But I mean, so right now the Packers, with the two safeties that they took in the draft, Bullard and Evan Williams, have been playing really well. Like, you hear just about every day about how Evan Williams is making some sort of turnover play. He's got a bunch of interceptions in camp, forced a fumble on Saturday in the game, and Bullard's the second-round pick. So, clearly, and when you see Evan Williams play, the dude is about as sure of a tackler as the Packers have had in God knows how long. So, you're looking at this and going, whoa, they got to figure out ways to get guys on the field. And
good guys.
Yeah.
Talented guys.
Yeah,
productive guys.
You want to find a way to get these guys on the field. And then you start, okay, well, you have Jair, you've got Stokes. Bullard's played the slot before, so maybe he ends up getting in some different alignments, taking some snaps away from Keyshawn Nixon, lining up in the slot so you can get Evan Williams on the field. I don't think it's a permanent thing. I think they still like Keyshawn Nixon. But I also found it curious that instead of dropping Keyshawn Nixon to the slot, because he started on the outside with Jair Alexander out, they didn't drop him down to the slot. They kept him on the outside, clearly wanting to get more reps for the safeties at that slot position. So is Keyshawn Nixon the slot corner? Sure. But based on the Packers' actions in that game, it seems to me they're trying to come up with creative ways to get their young safeties on the field.
I guess I just assumed, Chu, that him making a three-year, $19 million deal meant he was not just a returner. He was going to be the guy at nickel. But maybe not. Maybe a guy like Evan Williams can come in and whoop, take his spot.
Well, number one, he has rabbit ears. I don't know why these guys read Twitter or even listen to all that noise. And he's 27, which is kind of old for being a Packer. So you're on the clock. Am I right? So you're on the clock.
Yeah.
You have this year where they're definitely going to keep you. Next year they're going to evaluate, but you're not here in 3 years because they want to bring these young guys up to speed who are probably 22 years old. So they're projecting. That just happens. You feel, players can kind of feel when you're on the way out.
Sure, but you know, isn't it a bad look to put it out there on Twitter? You can have that stuff churning. You could feel like, oh, the tides are turning. Things are shifting a little around here. But I don't think you let people know about it. Like, that to me was the thing where I was like, the error here is not being aware of where you are in the pecking order or where you might be in the pecking order. The error here was putting it out on social media and letting people know that you're aware of the conversations about your job security.
No, I'm not bothered by this. Why would you think I'm bothered by this? Please do not tell people I'm bothered by this, is basically what the tweet said.
He's hearing footsteps. We heard, like, Kirk Cousins, right? You're on the backside. They just paid you a ton of money, and you're worrying about. See, these guys don't see it. It gets in their head like you're going to play forever. And we all go through it. Like, when we retire, we're like, so much for the NFL. They're done. I retired. They're not going to play anymore.
Good luck still going on.
That's how especially quarterbacks feel. Like, they can't play anymore without me.
Continue yeah. the NFL
You know what
without
happens?
Me.
They do. So you feel, you know, you start to feel the footsteps a little bit.
Is there any part of any of you guys that would be okay with somebody else being the nickel instead of Keyshawn Nixon? Now, again, the money, right? They committed that money to him, which, again, I think has meant that they want him to be that guy. But if somebody outperforms him, this is a big boy league.
Sure.
I'm fine with somebody. It's the same conversation we were having about the kickers, where it was like, I'm tracking kicks, I'm tracking distance, whatever. Tell me when the competition is over and give me somebody who can split the uprights. That's I care about. And that's how I feel about this as well.
I have no emotional attachment to Keyshawn Nixon.
Correct.
Like, he's been. Has he been a fun return guy? Sure. But, like, I'm not. Oh, Keyshawn Nixon's my guy. I hope he wins that nickel spot. No,
but he's
go
probably
out there and win it.
Being paid 30% to be a kick returner.
Yeah, probably.
Like, if he was a straight nickel guy, he'd probably make the team this year. I don't know if he'd make it next year. You know? That's just the way it is. You move on.
Gabe,
you know?
I never know where to start here. Should we go start of the season? Should we go mid-season? Should we go season's end? Let's just season's end. Yeah. Season's end. Mm-hmm. Is Keyshawn Nixon the nickel for the Green Bay Packers, or has a guy like Evan Williams supplanted him?
I'm guessing that he is still getting snaps in the nickel. I'm guessing they'll just kind of mix it up and having, we talk about the wide receivers.
Versatility.
Oh, you've got the versatility. You've got all these guys. Like, this is a good problem to have, especially when you have a sure tackler like Evan Williams getting one of those safeties. If you want to go nickel, teams are still going to probably, you know, again, want to run the ball in that. But if you've got some good defenders in that box, even though they're lighter, that can still make plays against the run, again, it gives you that versatility. I don't think Keyshawn Nixon's going to be completely phased out of this defense. But I'm guessing that, hey, when he's healthy, we go to nickel. Keyshawn, you're going out there. I don't think that's the case right now.
Well,
I think do I think he's getting 75, 80% of the snaps? Probably. But I think they're going to mix those things up.
And right now, I mean, for young players battling with Keyshawn Nixon, they're doing math. They're doing addition right now. When the season ramps up, you're talking algebra, pre-calc. And that's where I think you'll see the difference, because, I mean, as a rookie, you'll get flooded. Your head will be spinning.
You're saying Keyshawn Nixon will be like, there,
okay,
that.
I get this. They're going to feel much more comfortable with him. And maybe these young guys catch up as the season goes along. But this is vanilla, 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 you know? Like what Jason was talking about with the touchdown to Wicks. I don't know. Do you show that in a preseason game? Because it was clearly a screw-up on Cleveland's part where the safety probably should have bumped out to Musgrave. And my guess is they kept the corner there and slid him inside. Because that guy had no business covering. That thing was done from the start.
Correct.
It's an interesting point by you, Chu. I think ideally you don't show something like that. But when a play breaks down, you want your quarterback to be able to identify the mismatch. Yeah. And you want him to take advantage of it. So I'm okay with Wicks having that score, even if it did let everybody know that he is a weapon.
That was like a bread and butter play for them.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they were looking for, a defensive screw up. And they were just looking for the mismatch. Because my guess is if the safety bumped out on Musgrave and they moved the corner inside, they're going to Musgrave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just trying to pick on the safety. There.
Yeah. Because then you just throw it up to Musgrave and you're like, all right, go make a play on it.
Size issue. Joshy, by season's end, do you think Keyshawn Nixon will be the starting nickel for the Green Bay Packers?
I don't. I think Keyshawn Nixon has filled a role. He played it well. He had that big interception against Patrick Mahomes that sealed the game. But like the buzz around these young guys making plays, making sure tackles, I just think I don't think he'll fully lose the job, but 50-50 between him and Evan Williams, like who's switching in and Bullard and all that, all three of those guys that were acquired in this offseason can play in the slot. Which means Keyshawn Nixon, if they're good, you're going to just lose snaps naturally. I still think he's going to be a foundational part of the defense, but he's not going to be out there nearly every play like he was last season.
And I think there will be something too. These guys were our drafted guys. Like, to say nothing of Keyshawn Nixon's journey, but he was an undrafted guy that they kind of plucked out of obscurity. They put him in the role. And to Joshy's point, he has handled it well. He's been fine. But I think they're looking to upgrade that position. Sure. And I think they think they can with this young kid in Evan Williams, who has the versatility, who played all over defensive schemes in college, and it seems like will be a good fit for that spot going forward. But for Keyshawn Nixon, man, don't put it out on Twitter anymore. Even if you're hearing footsteps, even if there's some competition there at your position, they're supposed to be. This is what camp is. You're supposed to figure out who the best guy at each position is. And if you're starting to feel there's a little pressure, somebody's breathing down your neck, what are you doing letting the world know?
Yeah, learn from the previous idiots like Za'Darius Smith tweeting his stuff out. Or who's the linebacker that
Campbell.
Went to?
Campbell.
Yeah.
I ain't playing hurt. It's over. I'm done. Yeah, that's smart. Way to put that out there.
I also think we invest a lot in the Packers doing in the offseason about how much someone got paid. When you're jockeying for playoff positions and you got games on the line and Keyshawn Nixon's not playing at his best, he's getting taken off the field.
Yep.
When it comes to wins and losses, his salary doesn't matter. Week 17 with the game on the line. It's not a non-factor.
Yeah. He's safe this year, but next year, you're not so safe.
We'll put it on the Jen Gabe and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. By season's end, will Keyshawn Nixon be the starting nickel for your Green Bay Packers? Let us know, 800-990-3776. Gabe?
If you're looking to take your golf experience to the next level, you need to join me out at the Wisconsin Country Club. No assessments ever. There's no food and beverage minimums. With a beautiful course that I love playing, you will not get bored of. It's a challenging course. Fun course, great things going on out there. But maybe you want something a little more than golf. Well, no worries. They've got pool, tennis, pickleball, themed Sunday fun days at the pools for the kids as well. Birthday parties are a splash at the club pool as well. So many different options. And the Wisconsin Country Club is giving back to the community as well. Swing for Cindy and help raise money for ALS coming up on August 26th. It's a 10 a.m. shotgun start, silent auction, raffles, putting contest, and more. For more information, you can contact Don Tracy or Derek Gentry at the Wisconsin Country Club by going to thewisconsincountryclub.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation. We've talked about fantasy camp, and now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's a Hughes Day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Ben V saying, is Jen sick or something? Did I miss something? She sounds nasally. Well, Ben, I'm glad you asked. You know that procedure where they put the little balloons in your nose and they inflate them?
Funny. No, I don't. Yeah. Unfamiliar. Have not had that one done.
I had it done on Thursday of last week. So we're coming up on about a week. It's supposed to clear your congestion, but they tell you that for the first week, you will feel horrible. And that's where we are. So had the balloons put in, they're supposed to open up your nasal passages, help you with drainage, you know, because you guys know I lose my voice. What are we at now? Like,
it's happened a handful of times.
Not once a month, but we're at like once a quarter where all of a sudden I get a sinus infection and I lose my voice, which, you know, feels like it's hazardous to the job. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not great. Not great when you work in an audio medium.
Could I come over here and, you know, sign my way through the show, I suppose. Might get a little boring for those listening at home.
Do you have allergies right now? Because mine right now are horrible.
What do you got?
I'm allergic to that yellow crap on the side of the road everywhere. Goldenrod.
Pollen?
No, those that you'll see them everywhere when you drive on the highway. The yellow stuff doesn't like me. Goldenrod.
The yellow stuff on the side of the road.
Obviously not.
Is it pee-pee? Is it pee-pee on the side of the road? It's pollen, right? You're allergic to the pollen from these flowers, the goldenrod flowers?
Solidago.
What?
Commonly called goldenrods. Is a genus of about 100 to 120 species of flowering plants.
Yes. Crush me.
Okay. Do you take anything for it?
Yes, I do. In the morning, and then I have to flip around my little...
Because I've been hanging out with this guy.
Air cleaning system in the house.
This nasal mist. This nasal mist and I have gotten very, very familiar with each other over the last 5 days. I got to put that thing up there every hour or so.
I thought about this probably 2 weeks ago and never mentioned it. Have we given up on the water bottle? The gallon of water?
Yeah, oh, yeah. What happened to that?
1,000,000% gave up on it. Gave up on it 2 days in. That thing was so cumbersome. It was so awkward and like... not convenient at all.
No.
Like, I'm going to go back to just a regular old water bottle and refill it a few times. What do you think about that?
I think it's kind of weak, if you really want to know.
You know, my husband goes, how much was that water bottle? Yeah. I was like, it was $20,
I'll
okay?
give you $7 for it right now.
You can have it, honestly. I'll give it away for free, 800-990. Anybody wants to call in, I'll give them my giant water bottle that I am not going to use anymore. Second hour of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up. We got power rankings. We got the rock story. You don't want to miss it.